Today's scripture is Luke 6, 27 through 36. But I say to you who are willing to hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on the cheek, offer other one as well. If someone takes your coat, don't withhold your shirt either. Give to everyone who asks, and don't demand your things back from those who take them. Treat people in the same way that you want them to treat you. If you love those who love you, why should you command? Even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, why should you be commended? Even sinners do that. If you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, why should you be commended? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be paid back in full. Instead, love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. If you do, you will have a great reward. You will be acting the way children of the Most High act, for he is kind to ungrateful and wicked people. Be compassionate, just as your Father is compassionate. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us go to God in prayer. We are here, Lord, and we do follow you, the King. May our hearts be open, Lord, to receiving your teaching today, no matter how difficult it seems. We love you. May our meditations at this time be to your glory and honor, Holy One. Amen. So speaking of what Stephen was talking about, I have a confession to make. I confess to you all a lot. Thank you for listening. But I got another one, all right? Yes, I am a fan of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. The MCU. I hear some claps around there. I hear other fans as well. I guess it was at the beginning of 2022. I actually made a pact with some grandkids that we can watch the Marvel movies together. And in timeline order, by the way. Not in the order of which they came out, but starting with Captain America, First Avenger, set in the World War II, and then going forward all the way to Avengers Endgame. So we got the travails of Captain America and Spider-Man and the Incredible Hulk and Thor and Black Widow and Hawkeye. Am I forgetting anybody else? Not as many fans of the MCU here. I watched all their 23 movies in all. Yeah, my grandkids stopped watching after a while. But I watched those movies and then some, you know, that had throw in some Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., some Daredevil, some Jessica Jones, some Luke Cage in there as well. So I watched quite a few of these things. And, you know, when you're on a quest such as that, you get in the middle of it and it's like you start to question, why am I spending all this time watching these films? What is the point? Don't I have other things to do? And yes, I did have other things to do. But I also realized that there's something about those movies. They really have big themes that are expressed through comic book heroes and villains, right? The battle against good and evil. And you know, there's the heroism that's there. It's the sacrifice for the common good. It's the standing up to what is wrong in the world. And I realize it's okay to like these films. One thing I have realized is that just like the Marvel Cinematic Universe, just like Fast and Furious, just like John Wick, just like Indiana Jones, all those three, by the way, having new movies coming out, just like Star Wars, just like Star Trek, each of these narratives, these ways of telling a story, also include one of the oldest narrative devices in all of literature, that is the myth of redemptive violence. It's bringing order out of chaos by acts of violence. It's what the late biblical scholar and theologian Walter Wink wrote extensively on, the myth of redemptive violence. And it's basically saying, yeah, good needs to kick evil's tail. And we are conditioned to do that from our Saturday morning. Well, I guess there's still Saturday morning cartoons somewhere. But from when we're young, we kind of buy into that. And I think it's because in the myth of redemptive violence, we sense that somehow justice is served. We take control over the chaos that is all around us so that we can bring order to that chaos. There's some element of control in this myth of redemptive violence. There's redemption to be found. Trust me, when I was watching Avengers Endgame, and evil Thanos and all his armies were going up against all of the Marvel heroes that just popped into existence for the big fight. Woo! The whole theater, whether it was in the movie theater or at home, it's like, woohoo, yippee-ki-yay! Yes. There's that sense of yes, good is winning here. So when all those fists flew, all those warhammers were thrown, all those laser beams went everywhere, there was a sense of satisfaction. But Jesus, friends, would tell us that that myth of redemptive violence is exactly that, a myth. Because that is not the way of Jesus Christ. Jesus does not offer us a simple way. Jesus doesn't offer us the easy way. Jesus offers us the radical way. And that is the way of loving our enemies. This is the last message in our series of Radical Sayings of Jesus, and there's a reason for that, because it's hard. And this pastor was actually dreading talking about this because this is difficult for me personally. Because, boy, that myth of redemptive violence in me to want to take control over uncontrollable situations and to provide some smackdown. I'd like to do that. I can't help it. But Jesus doesn't provide that way. He provides and offers the way of loving our enemies. I suppose it's good that we define who an enemy is, right? And that's fairly simple. An enemy is a person who actively opposes or is, just is against us, right? And we have enemies. We have people that oppose us. We have people that are hostile to us. And yes, you are an enemy of someone else too. That's the flip side. Somebody that you have opposed, somebody that you have been hostile to. And so Jesus somehow says we are to love those who oppose us. We are to love those who are hostile to us. That even seems to kind of stretch a law that's prevalent in the Torah. In Exodus 21 and in Leviticus 24 and Deuteronomy 19, there are variations on this saying, but basically there is a law that says an eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. Have you heard that law? It has a fancy Latin term, lex talionis. Lex talionis is the law of retributive justice, exact retribution. And it sounds extreme. Take an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, and actually it's extended arm for an arm, leg for a leg. And we might think, well, that's pretty bloody. But actually, friends, this is a law that even predates our Bible, found in many ancient cultures, and it is a humane law. strange as it may seem, because what it does is that it prevents overkill. Think about it. Back in the day, if somebody insulted somebody, they would kill their entire family. But they followed eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. They would simply insult back, right? You see how humane that is? Now, you might be thinking, well, we're much more civilized today. Really? Then explain to me road rage. Somebody gets cut off, and then what they do is they try to physically hurt another person, kill another person, because they have been angered. They're not following even eye for an eye and tooth for tooth. And yet Jesus teaches us another way. See, Jesus knows humanity, amen? He knows all of us. He knows that we confuse our sense of justice with our thirst for vengeance. We get those confused. And vengeance, friends, does not lead to healing. If anything, the Lord our God would heal our hearts in the lives that we lead. Our God is all about our healing. And vengeance, friends, gets in the way. That's because our vengeance is undergirded by fear and hatred. And fear and hatred also gets in the way of healing. That all begins when we are wounded. And we start developing all these processes to deal with our woundedness, and we start to build systems in our lives to protect ourselves. But what can happen is that those systems can turn against us and they can fester, and our hatred, instead of taking care of our woundedness, making us feel better somehow, starts to grow and grow and grow until it goes beyond that. Jesus knows, friends, that we are betrayed, that we are hurt, that we are wounded. Jesus also knows that we betray, that we hurt other people, that we wound other people. We're all in the same boat. So for those who would listen, Jesus tells us, love your enemies. And what does Jesus mean by love? Well, friends, this is important. It really is. Because Jesus isn't, when he's using the word that he's using, it is not love in a general sense. It's not romantical love. And we're all going, whew. We are not called to fall in love with our enemies. This is not a love of friendship. We are not to befriend our enemies. We've dodged that one too, right? Well, get ready to be challenged, because what Jesus is actually asking us to do is to love with a love that only exists in a relationship that is active. And it is, to quote that classic rock group Boston, it is more than a feeling, it is a behavior where we act in agape love. And many of you have heard that word agape before. I have too, and I got to tell you, every once in a while I think, well, agape love is that sweet love. It's that love that's really friendship love, but even better than that. But it's not. It is a working love. It is a difficult love. It is a love that we are conscious of. It is the love that God loves us with. And it is the love that we love our God with. We agape God. God agapes us. Because God agaped us first, then we can agape others, John would say. We can love others because God loved us first. Agape is important, friends, because it is an act of love. And what it means is that it's a love where we have to, if we have someone, and agaping our enemies, then how we respond in our dislike, in our own opposition, has to be in a way that is in the best interest of the person that we're loving. And that is tough, isn't it? And the reason why we do that is so that the world can be transformed by the love that we give. You've heard that song, they'll know we're Christians by our love. They don't know us by our love, by romantic love. They don't know us by our love, by our friendship love. No, they know us by our agape love, because we can love everyone. Because truth be told, our enemies are also our neighbor. So how do we do that? Well, Jesus kind of lays it out. Still not easy. Dag nabbit. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Wow. Do good, bless, pray. Are you with me? And then I love how Luke shares this teaching from Jesus on his Sermon on the Plain. Jesus says, treat people in the same way that you would want them to treat you. What's that called? Golden rule. Yeah, that's a golden rule. Treat people in the same way that you want them to treat you. And what that means, friends, is that you want to treat people in love because you wanted to be you want to be treated in love no matter what you've done to other people. No matter what wrongs you've done to other people, you want to be treated in the same way. I do want to lift up, it doesn't mean that you need to be a doormat. There are verses in between the do good, bless, and pray, and the golden rule, treat people in the same way that you want to treat them, that have been interpreted, unfortunately, as saying you need to give in to the evil around you. If someone slaps you on the cheek, offer the other as well. You know how many times that's been used in abusive relationships by well-meaning pastors and Christians to say, if you're suffering from abuse, guys, stay with your spouse that's beating up on you. That's not what it means. If someone takes your coat, don't withhold your shirt either. This is a case of, we think we understand these words, but we don't understand what they mean. See, the people that heard these words and the people that first read these words of Luke would have understood that what Jesus is trying to say is, you must learn to love your enemies creatively. And I'll just give you an example. I'll leave you to do some deep study on some other things. Turn the other cheek. This isn't a general thing about people wailing on each other, okay? People that Jesus were talking to might have been slaves. They were citizens of the empire. Well, they were the conquest of the empire. And people who thought they were above them would show their rank by slapping them. And they would slap them in this way. Why? Because the back of your hand shows that I am the one above you. Boom. So you turn the other cheek, and all of a sudden, they have to strike you with the palm of their hand. And that is only done with people who are their equals. Do you see what's happened here? You've taken away their sense of place. You haven't done it with violence, but they can't strike you anymore because then they are going to look bad. I'll leave you to study that. We could do a whole sermon series on this. But this is one of those times, friends, when we need to understand that Jesus is never saying that we need to give in to violence and let people hurt us. Jesus is never saying that's okay. Jesus is saying, friends, you need to be creative in how you respond when you love your enemy. And there are reasons why we should. We should love our enemies so that we can be like our Father. Says, you know, if you love your enemies, if you do good and lend expecting nothing in return, you will have a great reward. You will be acting the way children of the Most High act, for He is kind and to ungrateful and wicked people. And guess what? I'm sorry to tell you, you are unkind and wicked people. Okay? We're all in the same boat. But Jesus says we're also in the same boat because God is compassionate to us all, and we are to be compassionate. That's why Jesus has all these sentences. Why should you be commended? If you love those who love you, why do you pat yourselves on the back? Even sinners do that. If you do good to those who do good to you, well, why pat yourselves on the back? If you lend to those and you expect repayment, why should you pat yourselves on the back? That's what everybody does, but not you, because you love in a different way. What does that look like in the real world? Well, let me give you an example. Someone whose story just touched my heart. It's a pastor in Redemption, Tucson. His name is Marcus Doe. And Marcus had a very difficult life growing up. He grew up in Liberia during a time of civil war. He became an orphan at the age of 11. Not all of a sudden, his mother was killed when he was really young and his father when he was 11. He became a refugee. He went to Ghana and spent many years there, and then he went to the United States. But all the while, he was righteously nursing a desire to one day return to Liberia and to kill the people who had killed his parents during the Civil War in Liberia. Well, over the passage of time, the people that he came to know and the Bible he started to read, he realized something. There's this thing called forgiveness. And he realized that forgiveness isn't just a nice thing that we're supposed to do. That forgiveness isn't just a law that we're supposed to follow. No, forgiveness is essential. Because only in forgiveness can you begin to be made whole. And so out of the events in his life and all the people that he met, he began to pray, and he started to have a change of heart. So in 2010, at the age of 31, he went back to Liberia, but this time it was to forgive those who had killed his parents. He was going to go and meet his brothers, but on the way there, he stopped at a barber shop. And while he was there, there were 10 men in that barber shop, including his barber. And as they were engaging in conversation, they asked him his name. And he said, well, it's Marcus Doe. They said, well, no family of that name survived the war. Neither did the dictator at the time. But they said, that family didn't survive. And he said, well, this is how I survived. And he recounted how he was a refugee as a young child and everything. And then, friends, confessions all around. Those men in that place were child soldiers during that Civil War. Child soldiers. But they were people that 20 years before would have killed him without a second thought. But as he shared his life with them, and their hearts broke. And that's where redemption happened, because forgiveness happens. For those who are willing to hear, love your enemies. I like what Dallas Willard has to say, another one of my favorite scholars. Don't agree with him on everything. But I love this. He says, when we are personally injured, our world does not suddenly become our injury. We have a larger view of our life and our place in God's world. We see God. We see ourselves in His hands. We see our injurer as more than the one who was imposed on us or hurt us. We recognize his humanity, his pitiful limitations shared with us. And we also see him under God. This vision and the grace that comes with it enables this prayer. Father, forgive them, for they do not really understand what they are doing. And in fact, they don't, as Jesus well knew when he prayed this prayer over his murderers. The hardest, most radical teaching ever, right? Love your enemy, because you will become children of the Most High. May we be compassionate as the Father is compassionate. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.